Everybody, welcome to the True Crime Squad. I'm Christy Brower, here with my sister, co-host, and partner in crime, Katie Weaver. Hey, Katie.
Hello.
How's it going?
It is going. I understand, when you came home from California, you were freezing to death.
Yes.
A week in the Arizona sun, and I am freezing. And I had a bout with altitude sickness.
You did? Wow.
Isn't that weird? Yeah.
You could be immune having lived here your whole life.
But... I know. Every time we go to Colorado, people are like, now listen, you'll probably get altitude sickness. And we're like, our altitude's the same as yours. Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
But a week in Arizona did it for you, huh?
Yes. I don't know if I'm allowed to leave town anymore.
Well, that is pretty funny.
Wild. But anyway, all is well. I have a bunch of crows outside yelling for food and
Ooh, making me so happy.
Yeah.
Well, spring is trying to sprung here.
It is.
But we got a whole bunch of snow right before spring decided to do its thing. So
yeah,
it's pretty much wet and muddy now, and it's going to take a while for all this snow to melt, I'm afraid.
Yeah. We need some good windy days to help knock it down.
Yeah, we do. That helps take it way down.
Yeah.
Well, it is Tuesday, and we have a lot to get to. So, Katie, I know you're going to kick us off with a little Florida man.
Imagine getting married to someone who tells you that they used to be in a cartel, and there was a shipment that... went awry, and you're on the hook for about $60,000, and there's people after you.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That would be terrifying.
So this happened to a woman in Florida, and for the first about 6 months of their marriage, all was well, and then her husband ended up losing his job. He was a welder. And not too long after that, he started disappearing. For periods of time. And she was receiving texts from an unknown number. Excuse me, from someone claiming to have him in their custody and that she was going to have to send over some money or they wouldn't release him because he was behind on the payments he was making them for all the money he owed them.
Oh, my God.
And that she was to send the money to her husband's Cash App. And then he would transfer it to
That seems a little sketchy.
So this happened several times, and she was sending many thousands of dollars over. And so between October and December of last year, it happened multiple times. And every time, after a short while after she'd pony up the money, he'd stroll in the front door. So,
yikes.
And many times she'd get texts saying, I know I said last time was the last time, but this is really the last time. This is really the last time.
What?
And in fact, the last time she was told to pony up the money now or her husband's throat gets peeled. There was always threats against his safety. And she they told her they were driving him around in his car waiting for her to pay up. And so she paid up.
In his car?
Her husband's Cash App. And he didn't come home for a few days. And she was worried. So she finally decided enough is enough. These cartel people have hounded us long enough. And she went to the police, which was the thing she was not supposed to do. Mm-hmm. So the police said, all right, we will, we'll look into it. This man's been kidnapped. So they took that phone number that had been texting her that she did not know the origin of. Mm-hmm. And it turned out that was a phone number that was registered in her husband's name.
Yeah, I thought I smelled a rat here.
And So they started to unravel this situation, and they put a bolo out on his car, and it didn't take very long for them to find him driving around.
Driving him, he was kidnapping himself in his own car.
Pulled him into the police station, and he spilled his guts. Turns out he was slipping away and then demanding money because A, he was hooking up with other women, and B, he has quite the cocaine addiction.
Oh, boy.
And it sounds like in the year that these two have been married, he's extorted her for around $120,000.
My God, he must have known she had it.
Apparently. Well, she doesn't anymore. When she finally went to the police, she said it was because she had under $10 left in her bank account.
Oh, my God.
From all of her heroic attempts to save his life.
What an ass.
He also admitted to the police that he has actually never been in a cartel. Big surprise to all.
This, right Talker here is not.
Eric Johnson. And this all happened in Indian Harbor, Florida. So he's now been charged. He has some drug charges because he had some cocaine on him when he got arrested and a pipe. And now he's been charged with extortion and fraud as well. And his poor wife is left devastated, penniless, and dumb as hell.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is so sad.
It's way sad.
But agreed. Why would you put up with this multiple times?
And why?
I mean, I think I probably would have called the cops the first time, frankly.
For sure. She told the police when he would come back, it was weird that he never had much of an explanation about where he'd been or who had him or what happened. For a good reason. Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, on the mystery phone, the police found lots of instances of him sexting with other women during the time that he was waiting for her to pony up the funds.
Wow. 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 What a creep.
So this Florida man is an epic piece of shit, and his poor wife, she can recover from this and ever get her sense of trust towards another human being back in her life.
Right.
And I hope you learned a little bit about not trusting these fools.
Wow. That's just terrible.
Mm-hmm. I hope she leaves him. I
you mean she hasn't? She won't.
I don't know. I mean, he's in jail, but, you know, this kind of seems like one of those cases, you know?
Yikes. Well, yeah, I hope so, too, because...
So, darling, run. Run, yes. run.
Get the hell away from this moron before he gets out of jail.
He will not change.
Mm-mm.
Yikes. So, boo on you, Florida man. Boo on you.
Yeah.
Well, with that, I'm going to turn it over to you for our main case.
Okay. You all may remember little Cody Bigsby.
Yeah.
We started talking about Cody Bigsby in early 2021. He was reported missing by his father in a 911 call. And things went immediately sketchy. This was one of those, he was just walking around in the backyard and then he was gone kind of deal. And he's just a little guy. So right away, it was clear that the police had real questions about Dad, Corey Bigsby. And actually, Corey Bigsby went directly to jail after the reporting of Cody being missing, not for his disappearance, but for the neglect of all of his children. He was leaving them home alone and he wasn't really feeding them or taking care of them. It was a really ugly situation.
Like little children, right? Just leaving them home alone for many hours at a time.
Little children. Yeah. Yeah. This right here is Cody Bigsby. Well, eventually, Cody Bigsby was charged with Corey's murder and the disposal of his body. Mm-hmm. Little Corey, or little Cody, I knew I was going to mix them up. They're so hard. Little Cody has never been found.
Right. Do you remember there was that moment where they thought they found him? buried at a schoolyard, and everybody was waiting on pins and needles, and it turned out it was like someone's family dog.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. There were bones wrapped in a blanket, and yeah, it was a whole thing. I do. Awful. Well, Corey Bigsby today was found guilty of the murder and of the murder of Cody Bigsby and the disposal of his body, which is pretty interesting because Cody's body has never been found.
Yeah.
So I want to tell you a little bit about what went on in the trial, and kind of how this all went down. One thing to know is that Corey actually confessed in writing or by transcription, where he was having a guard transcribe his confession 5 different times.
Wow.
I have 5 several of them.
Confessions? Like, did the story change?
No, there's 2 stories. One of them quite obviously is true, and the other one quite obviously is not true. Okay. So I was going to show you these, but you can't read them anyway. So I'm just going to, I'm sorry. It was January of 2022 that we started covering, this little guy's disappearance.
Okay.
Not 21.
It was during the period of the 4-year-old's disappearing, right?
Yes.
Kind of all right there in that pocket. Yeah.
Yep. It was during that time. So I'm going to read you, a couple of these because there are basically 2 versions. There's the version that he gave, that sort of lines up with his 911 call. And then there's the version that actually lines up with the like forensic evidence they've found. So I'm going to read you first the one that lines up with at least the timeline of the 911 call. So this is something that he had a guard transcribed. So he didn't write it, but the guard actually came. There were a couple of jail staff that came and testified to the fact that they are the one that wrote these, and they just cried their eyes out because it's just so upsetting. But here's the first one. I, Corey J. Bigsby Sr., am confessing that on the 30th of January, 2022, stepped outside of my apartment at 171 Ranelet Drive to get some items out of my car to wash clothes. And when I returned, I found my son, Cody Josiah Bigsby, laying at the bottom of the steps, unresponsive. He must have fallen. Sure. I then tried to revive him by administering CPR several times over and over until I couldn't anymore.
Uh-huh.
Sure. No 911 call mentioned in this one. Then I prayed, step outside for a few minutes and talk to God as I prayed and asked God to allow my son a second chance. Then I returned and administered CPR again, but got no response. So I panicked and prayed. Jesus, this dude. After that, I placed him into a trash bag and put him into the back of my truck. On the 31st of January, at around 5:30 a.m., I took him to Garrett A. Morgan Boulevard and placed him into a receptacle. After I realized it was a trash can, what do you think it was? Human body recycling, Corey Bigsby?
Jesus.
After I realized it was a trash can, took him out and put him into a hole I dug beside a tree inside the tree line. He had tape around his ankles and wrists, a cowboy's rug under him, Beats headphones in his ears. I then ate and placed his bike and some trash after I ate at the scene. And then he signed it.
The hell?
Right. So that version's come around a few times. And then there's the version that police believe is what actually happened.
And please don't tell me he ate a Del Taco. I can't take it.
No, but the part about eating makes me want to just Okay, I'm going to do my best to read this because this one, he then X'd it out. He put a big X over the pages, mm-hmm. but it's still here. You know, the writing is still here. So this was on the 18th of June, 2021, which, by the way, there are no photos of little Cody on Corey Bigsby's phone after June 18th of 2021.
Oh, dear God. Was he gone for 6 months before anyone knew?
Yeah.
7 months. Oh.
It appears he was. Okay, let me see if I'm going to try to read this. I've got to blow it up. It's hard to read. Because this one's written, I think, in crayon. I, Corey Bigsby, walked in the room and grabbed Cody and dragged him into the kitchen and thumped his head on the floor and beat him with my fist, and he went into cardiac arrest. And I tried to perform CPR. Then he did not respond. Then I went upstairs with Cody and put him into the tub. Then I went, did something to see if he would respond. He did not. So I hid him and prayed to God to bring my baby back. Then I took him in the room and laid him on the bed. And then I went somewhere. This one's partially torn. And got a flashlight and charged it. I then went to the gas station, put gas. Then I went to the store and got snacks. Okay. Hang on. Sorry. You get the next page of this. Then I went to the restroom, and I'm going to censor what's said here. And wiped fecal material on Cody's body.
What?
And then, yeah. I went to empty our washer and put Cody in a bag. Then I drove back home and put Cody in the fridge. Then I put Cody in the car again and drove him to building 5511 and dug a hole by the tree and buried him. Then went home and prayed for forgiveness. Then went to King's Dominion the next day. And I went to the hospital and I dumped my clothes from the crime in the trash and burned them. Oh, that's right. He washed them first. That's what the washer was. Then the next day I went back to burn Cody and cover up. Oh, scars from beatings. Then I went home and took a bath. Please accept my confession sincerely, Corey Bigsby.
Oh, my God.
So, at one point when he had him hidden in the house, one of Cody's siblings actually saw him. And one of the things that the judge allowed, first of all, he allowed these confessions into court. Mm-hmm. Because although the defense said that it was, he was under so much pressure and it was so stressful there that he did these, but it was pretty clear that he did all of these confessions voluntarily. Mm-hmm. And then they let in poor Cody's brother, who was only 6 years old at the time. Oh. That he saw his little brother. And he said, I saw him laying there and his eyes were open. And I thought he was dead. He's the only witness to Cody's body.
Wow.
And the defense tried to say that he was unreliable, that this was hearsay, a whole lot of things. But I think actually the simplicity of a child's perception in this situation very clearly tells us exactly what happened.
Yeah.
So Corey was convicted. It took the jury only 2 hours of deliberation to convict him today. Mm-hmm. And he's convicted of second degree murder, which I wish it was worse, honestly, because it's less, it's less time.
Yeah. You know? This Cody deserves all the justice. Yeah.
So this is in Virginia. Cody was 3 years old at the time that he went missing. So they did find him guilty of second degree murder and hiding his body. He will be sentenced in June, I believe. Hopefully on June 18th, you know, the last day anyone ever saw him alive. Mm-hmm. Cody's mother was in the courtroom, and she did not have the children. Corey did. I've never fully understood why or how she didn't know that he was missing all that time. There were a lot of questions around that.
Tried to get that information once before, and it's just always been pretty unclear.
Yeah. So if you remember, the community really rallied for little Cody when he went missing. Yeah. And so there were a couple of different community groups, one called Team Cody and another one called Six Women in a Notebook, who have been fighting for justice for Cody Bigsby since he went missing. Mm-hmm. And they spoke to the press and were absolutely ecstatic. There actually were members of Corey Bigsby's family who were upset about the verdict, who had defended him.
Sure.
Which I find tough to take, frankly.
Right. Maybe, I don't know, defend Cody?
Yeah.
Care about Cody? Yeah.
Give a shit about this 3-year-old child?
Yeah.
The defense attorney, Curtis Brown, said to the press, "You all presented the case the way you all wanted, as if he was already guilty." No shit, dude.
Yeah. What do you think we're doing here, bro?
The press asked him, somebody with the press asked him if Cody was still alive. And he said, "I don't want to say something that I'll regret." Right?
Okay.
Like,
here's a thought. Say no more things.
Yeah. At all. Say no more things at all. So, you know, the defense basically just tried to say that these were false confessions and that the brother was hearsay. I mean, he doesn't really have a defense at all.
No.
Other than you know, they don't have a body. This child is 3 years old. And the person responsible for him has made multiple confessions, all of which are terrible. So who else are we going to hold accountable here?
Yeah.
The prosecutor was kind of disappointed that he did not take the stand, that Corey Bigsby did not take the stand. He said to the press, "I was going to have no mercy with him." If he took the stand, you would have seen another beatdown in the courtroom. It would have been a legal beatdown. It would have been no mercy.
He was laying in bed thinking about that all night. Yeah.
Right. But then, of course, he's a chicken and didn't, because he knows he did this.
When he was first arrested, one of the stories was that he had gone to buy a new car and was gone for 8 hours.
Yes.
Test driving and purchasing a car, and left all of those kids home alone all that
time. The oldest one that was like, the oldest was 6.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So there's no proof that Cody was alive after June 18th, and actually his sentencing, I didn't know this, I just guessed at that because I knew it was in June. It is scheduled for June 18th on the 3rd anniversary of his death.
Wow.
So I'm grateful that this man is being held accountable and that he can't be around his other children. He's clearly a danger to everyone in his life.
So is his sentencing via judge or via jury? Or do you know?
It's via judge. It's not a capital case.
All of the books that this dude.
I'm quite sure that he will. That jury only took 2 hours.
Yeah.
They did closing arguments this morning, and then it went to jury, and they still came back with a verdict
today.
Yeah.
Good.
So there's no doubt in anybody's mind what happened here.
And he's been sitting in jail all this time, hasn't he?
No, he had actually been bonded out, but his bond was revoked and he's going straight to jail.
Good.
Straight to, awaiting prison.
I hope it really, really sucks, Corey. I hope it really, really fucking sucks.
I hope you never get out. Mm-hmm. I hope you never walk out of that a free man. You know, the stories he's told give some kind of indication of what he did with this little boy's body, but they've never found it. And they have looked and looked and looked, and they've looked based on these confessions, and they've still never found it.
Wow.
The prosecutor said that he thinks they probably never will.
Yeah, this will be like Harmony Montgomery. They'll never, I'm ever find it.
Will. Yeah. So, fuck you, Corey Bigsby. I hope you hate jail a lot. I hope you hate prison horribly. I hope it's as miserable as it can be.
I hope prison hates you, Corey. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. I am so fired up about the case I just presented that I cannot remember what your last segment is now. You told me and I've totally forgotten.
That's okay. It's creepy crime.
Oh, boy. Like, we haven't had enough creepy crime already today, huh? Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's do that.
I might lighten this up just a little. And that was very hard to hear, I'm sure, for all of you as well.
But yeah.
Turn the tide a little bit and tell you about these two fools right here.
Oh, I know what this is. Yes.
This happened in Ohio. And these women are named, this is Karen Cashbaum, and her roommate, I'm going to have to get her name, Laureen Ferraro. So we have Karen and Laureen here, okay?
Two stable geniuses.
Yeah. Karen and Laureen lived with a man named Douglas Lehman. A little older than these two. Karen, in fact, is in a wheelchair. And these three adults lived in a home together. And recently, they were apparently getting ready to go somewhere. And Douglas died walking out the front door. Hmm. He was 80-ish, mm-hmm. in his 80s. And you would think that when someone collapses and dies in front of you, the first thing you would do is call 911.
That's what I would do.
Well, not if you're Karen. If you're Karen, you're more concerned about what's in his bank account. Hmm. So Karen and Laureen tried to wrestle him into their car. But they were unable to do so because she's in a wheelchair and they just weren't strong enough. So they called a male friend over who helped them to wrestle Douglas into the car, strap him into a seatbelt, and they drove to the bank and just Weekend at Bernie's him, and pretended like he was alive so that they could take $900 out of his bank account. I'm assuming that was draining his bank account, but that's just me. Then they drove to the hospital and dropped him off. They didn't even tell the hospital who he was. They just left. And then later it apparently occurred to them, oh shit, they probably don't even know who this is. So they called the hospital and said, hey, that dead guy that got dropped off earlier, this is his name and shit, basically.
What?
Yeah.
I'm not often speechless, but I am speechless. This is the dumbest crime I may have ever heard of.
Yeah. Well, apparently since the, you know, the bank knew them, and as long as he was in the car, it was okay for them to come and withdraw money from his account. His relatives are saying he trusted and liked these women and allowed them to live with him. Karen's has a relative who spoke to the news who said, yeah, she's got a flaming drug problem. And it's caused a lot of problems in her life. And I'm guessing this is a part of that. But holy shit. Yeah.
Holy shit. Was it really worth the $900, ladies?
Well, I would imagine not, because they've both been arrested. Because, you know, you can't just do that.
Right.
So they're both looking at like a $5,000 bond. It's just like abuse of a corpse, failure to report kind of stuff. As of now, they both face up to two years in prison if they're convicted.
There's got to be some kind of theft or fraud or something too, right?
Yeah. From the bank. Yeah, there's a handful of things. But they're also doing an autopsy, because what actually happened to Douglas?
Right? That was my first question when I saw this story. Like, he just died?
Right.
And then they did this? Like, I don't know about that.
And apparently the reason that they know he died walking out the door and stuff is because Karen is an idiot and had a recorded line phone conversation with a relative from the jail where she admitted all this stuff.
Oh my God. At least they are so dumb they're telling on themselves. But Jesus, what a terrible thing. What a terrible thing for Douglas's family.
Right.
To realize has been done to him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
God.
The complete level of disrespect. But also, you just knew he was dead? Like, you call 911.
Right, you do.
Perform CPR. You it's not safe people that are dying. You don't just try and figure out how you're going to wrestle them into the car so you can go to the bank and take all their money. For God's sake, Karen and Lorene. Yeah.
Nellen, what else have they been doing? They right. did this. They've been stealing from him all along, I'll bet you.
You bet they have. This is as cold as ice, man. Yeah.
It is. It's horrifying.
Pretty disrespectful to old Douglas, that's for sure.
I would imagine that the bank teller who waited on them at the window is probably horrified to know that he was dead in the car the whole time they were making the withdrawal. God.
It depends on the interview article. One of the articles that I read said that they went through a teller. The other one says they went through the bank ATM, but the teller saw him in the car so that they would have permission to use his debit card. So, but either way, they totally pulled a Weekend at Bernie's with this guy so that they could pull money out of his bank account. It's just so gross.
It is.
And so disrespectful.
What did they think was going to happen when they just dumped him off at a hospital dead like that? Like no one was going to come back and say, what the hell are you doing?
I mean, do it's we really strange. Have to review in this country what to do if someone's having a medical emergency and may have died?
Yeah.
You don't put them in a trash bag in the back of your car or put them in the bathtub or the refrigerator.
No.
You don't load them in the car and take their body to the bank and then drop them off at the hospital and move on your merry way.
Yeah.
There's about a billion other things you don't do. The only thing you do is call the authorities. That's all you do.
Right. 911. That's it. That's what's built. That's the system in this country. Just use it, people.
And like, y'all have been taught to call 911 since you were little. So let's not pretend like nobody knows what to do if someone dies.
Right. God, that's horrifying.
It is unbelievable how often we hear about stories where people have mishandled the death of someone. And sometimes not even because they did anything wrong, just because they're complete idiots.
Yeah.
But
it's
anyway.
A lot of times because they did something wrong, though.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. I don't know if we'll actually ever get to know what Douglas's autopsy showed. I kind of have this faint hope that some of Douglas's family will see our broadcast and reach out. If that's the case, if that's you, please contact us. We would love to talk to you a little bit and understand everything we can about this situation. And I'd really like to know what the autopsy reads. And if you're Douglas's family, please push for the autopsy and for the results. And like, don't let this just go away. There really has to be a good explanation for his death at this point. Yep.
Definitely.
Yep. Trust no one named Karen or Lorene. So much love to Douglas's family. Yep.
Yeah.
And Karen and Lorene, because they obviously have shamed everyone. So.
Yeah, their families are probably really loving them right now, too.
Mm-hmm. They're probably hoping they both go to prison for a couple years to give everyone a break.
No kidding. All right. Well, that was an interesting episode.
How are you doing?
We kind of went everywhere.
Are you guys okay?
All right. That was a little wild. I don't know. I'm just glad Corey Bigsby's off the streets, at least for a while. Hopefully forever. But
me too. Me too. And I would have wanted more, but at least there's justice for Cody. I mean,
yeah, there's something.
And good on the community groups also. Huge props to them for giving definitely. A shit. I'm amazed at how often it takes a community group gathering to get any accountability at all. So good on both of those groups for
doing make
that.
Sure. Yeah. Well, you know, we have to hold our legal systems accountable. They work for
absolutely.
Us.
Mm-hmm.
And it is our job in our own communities to keep an eye on that and hold them accountable and make sure that they know if we don't like what they're doing or what they're not doing.
Well, when it's the family that appears to possibly be the perp.
Right.
Not saying you should all run out and accuse everybody. You shouldn't. But you should get involved and care and be loud and make sure that the police and the media know that we care about this situation. We care about this person.
Yeah.
You know, if it wasn't for those ladies in Greeley, Montana, or sorry, Greeley, Wyoming.
Yes. Yes.
Doing anything on the case there, who, believe it or not, I could remember Greeley and now I can't remember her name.
Irene Gawkwa.
Thank you, Irene Gawkwa.
Yeah.
Nothing would have happened with that case. And still not enough has happened, but it takes.
But at least it's still in the system and he's still being investigated. So, yeah, it does.
You're not
being
a jerk.
Keep an eye on the community. Make sure.
Yeah.
That
you're not being rude. Yep. Advocacy is responsible community citizenship.
Yeah. It is. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's our Tuesday episode. We'll be back tomorrow with Wednesday night case updates. And there are some interesting updates coming through. An interesting one in the Chad Daybell case, actually. So we'll be sharing that along with quite a few other things.
Yeah, Crumbly.
So
James Crumbly's trial
James
is marching
Crumbly's
on.
Trial. Yeah,
so his attorney is just not nearly as interesting as Jennifer's was.
It's kind of boring because it's all sort of going the way it's supposed to go. And you know us, we like it when someone's being a fool so we can make fun of them.
We're about
really
drama.
Isn't anyone in this one except for James Crumbly. And we all know what an ass he is. So keep an eye out. We will be back. Be sure to like, subscribe, share, comment, leave us a review wherever you can. All of those things help us to grow. We appreciate you all so much. And you know it. We are the True Crime Squad. Bye, everybody.
Take care.